The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the MDN studios. Sam Webb, I rewind, drop on the other side of the glass. Tuesdays, KBA days here on the Michigan Insider. Every Tuesday, top of the 8 o'clock hour, we get our update. The Michigan women's basketball team from the head coach, and what a great week it was as Michigan in this first appearance, first regular season appearance at the Chrysler Center on ESPN gave them reason to say we need to come back, because that's exactly what the Wolverines did in that contest against Syracuse. Came storming back late, great in-game adjustment, kind of turned the tide, if you will, and the Wolverines won that contest in overtime and then rounded out the week with a, with the victory. Rounded out since the last time Kim was on with a victory over the Oakland Grizzlies. Joining us to talk about that is Michigan women's basketball coach Kim Barnes-Rico. Kim, how you doing?
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Ira. Doing well, thank you.
I'm just making sure that you're okay from that big chest bump you took after that Syracuse victory.
Yeah, there was a lot of excitement on the bench for sure, and Danielle Rausch kind of does that to me. I mean, she is such a leader for our team and such an emotional kid, and I was excited to be able to do that with her, joining the festivities for sure.
Right. Well, it was a game fitting of the network you were on. It had everything, Kim. I mean, it's back and forth. A visiting team that was on fire seemingly for a portion of the game from three, and then you came back. But let's just start with the opponent first. Kim, I mean, for a portion of the game, it's like, man, are they going to miss the three? They were bombing from all over the court there for a second.
Yeah, Syracuse is a team that tries to make over 10 threes a game, and I think they had made 5 in the first couple minutes against us, and we were obviously concerned. They're a really great program, an NCAA tournament team year in and year out, went to the Final Four a couple years ago, have some tremendous players, and they were really confident with their three and doing a great job early. And then we settled in and were able to take those threes away late. But we had to hold on. We had to withstand that kind of barrage of threes early on.
Yeah, and you mentioned before the game when we had you on last week, you know, they come with their, you know, with their zone. They make it hard to get it inside. But, you know, for the first half or so, you know, into the third quarter, you guys were still finding your way in the paint. And then as we got deeper in the game, as they're hitting shots, they're hitting their threes on one end. On the other end, their big kid, whose name I can't remember. But it was like she was blocking shots flat-footed. It was like she was just standing there, you know, blocking shots. So it felt like frustration was starting to set in a little bit. Kim, I wonder if on the sideline you started to sense that, because that's how it felt watching it.
Yeah, we couldn't get the momentum. It was a close game, back and forth, pretty much the whole first half. But yeah, their freshman kid was a shot blocker too. She had 5 blocks on the day, and they made that run. They made a run in the third quarter. We came back. They made another run to start the fourth quarter, and you could kind of feel like we were getting deflated and we were getting frustrated and kind of nothing was going our way at that moment. And we were able to score. We knew that we would be able to attack their zone, and not only with outside shots, but more paint touches, mid-post touches, seals over the top. And we were being really effective at that. We were going to Kayla Robbins on some lobs, on some seals on the weak side, and Haley Brown early. But we knew we had to make some adjustments in the fourth quarter when they were up 9.
And the biggest adjustment, folks, if you didn't watch the game, I called it dropping the hammer, because it as soon as you went full court, said we're going to press them, we're going to see if they can handle this pressure, try to turn them over, get some buckets in transition, as opposed to facing that half court defense. And And Kim, you know, it's interesting. It's the fourth quarter of a game that you've already expended a lot of energy, and yet your team was fresh enough to employ that strategy down the stretch. And boy, did it ever turn the tide, because Syracuse, they never recovered from that.
Yeah, Sam, that's kind of, you know, we pressed a lot last year, and we're not as deep as we were last year. And from a coaching perspective, you know, you're trying to save Nas Hillman a little bit so she's fresh and not wear her down with a press. But we knew at that point, you know, we needed to change the tempo of the game. We needed to change the momentum of the game, you know, and our press is so good. You put Nas Hillman at the front of that press with a 6'7" wingspan, and their point guard, who was really good and having a great day. I mean, she couldn't get the ball over half court.
Right.
And then you got a Kenray Johnson and Amy Dill kind of running at her, and they're long too. She really, I mean, we had some great traps, and I think that just re-energized us. So there wasn't a feeling of fatigue at that moment. Our kids were so energized, and they were playing incredibly, incredibly hard. I mean, that might have been the hardest I've ever seen us play, and fight and grit and determination, and we fed off that. So it didn't look as if we were tired for one second, but it did look as if Syracuse was tired.
Yeah.
And they just started to get more and more fatigued, and we just started, you know, the fire was burning at that point, and there was kind of no stopping us. And Kayla Robbins, we were able to find her. If it wasn't off the steal, we found her off the mid post. I think she scored three straight times. So we really were able to change the momentum.
Yeah, 15 steals in the game. A lot of them came, you know, once you broke the press out. And you mentioned Nas. I mean, it was, you know, late in that game to see her, you know, at the front of that press, jet running all over the floor full speed like it's the first few minutes of the game. Well, it was amazing to watch. And I tweeted about this. Michigan was down 10 with about 8 minutes to go. And basically, I think it was down the stretch. I think it was like 16-6 down the stretch to close that gap. And they really had to hit a couple of charity stripes just to tie it. And that brings me to my next point. So Kayla Robbins had a career game, 23 points in the contest, Kim. And how about this? When you talk about the trajectory of a career, you know, with a chance to win the game in regulation, look who you went to.
Yeah, she was phenomenal. I mean, Kayla was great all day, and we tried to switch it up a little bit. We were able to go to Nas late, and two times late, we went to Nas, and they tried to double her, and she was able to find Amy Dilk and Kayla Robbins off a cut. So we just tried to switch that up a little bit and then go to Kayla. And if Kayla didn't have anything, she was going to find Nas off the cut. So it was the same action. We just switched the people, you know, where we put each person, and gave Kayla the option to make the decision because we knew they were going to double Nas there. And Nas cut. She was open on the cut, but Kayla was already in. Our timing wasn't there, and she was in her move. And she had a great shot.
She had a great look, yeah.
Yeah. She had a tremendous look, and I wasn't sure how we were going to be after, because we were up two, and they got a call down that stretch there on a loose ball rebound. They called a foul on us where they made two free throws. So then we come down and have a chance to win the game, get a great shot, and miss it, and I wasn't sure if we were going to be deflated. But golly, we were not. I mean, we just dominated. We just dominated overtime. It was unbelievable.
Absolutely. And so you go on to win that game, 84-76. I know you've had some festive locker rooms, Kim, but that one, that had to be one of the most fun locker rooms you've been, post-game locker rooms you've been in.
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm walking back to our locker room after the game, and you know, during the game, our hoop, right under our hoop, Coach Howard was sitting. So I could see him, you know, we were making play after play on that run, and he's standing up and he's cheering and he's fist bumping. And I know that he has a game the next day, and now it's late. It's like approaching 11 o'clock and he's still there. He didn't leave. So we're going down the tunnel to get to our locker room, and I had to do media and stuff. So I was a little bit later than the team, and there he is, and his staff is there, and they're high five. And I said, Coach, I said, you better get home. You got a game tomorrow. He goes, are you kidding? He goes, we're family. I'm not missing this. And then I keep moving on, and I go down, and then I open the gym door before he gets to the locker room, and there's my family. And my son, you know, he's 18, so he's been at a million of our games, and he said, "Mom, that might have been one of the greatest wins that I've ever seen your team play. Greatest in 18 years." He said that was incredible. Their fight and their intensity and their comeback was unbelievable. So just, I mean, I wasn't thinking about what the locker room was going to be like. I was taking in all this information. I opened the locker room door and buckets of water. I forgot I needed to get my super soaker. Came at me, and our kids were just, you know, so excited, as they should be. I mean, they were incredible, and they came together, and our bench, our fans. I mean, it was a 9 o'clock game, so we weren't sure who would show up, but they showed up and they didn't leave. And that was great to see. Even when we were down the stretch, people stayed and really, you know, cheered us on to victory, and we couldn't have done it without everyone that was there.
Gotcha. All right. So, the Wolverines, they get that one, as we just mentioned, taking out Syracuse in thrilling fashion. And then you gotta put, just like, you know, L's, sometimes you gotta work to put a win behind you to focus on the next game. And as big as that one was, you had to focus on Oakland, and it was, you know, at least to begin with, it was nip tuck until your team kind of pulled away in the second quarter there.
Yeah, Sam, that was a tough one, and I just remember listening to Juwan last week after their Atlantis tournament saying, you know, no excuses, and trying to say to our team, you know, we talked about after Notre Dame, don't get too low, don't get too high, you know, just try to keep consistent every day. And after Thursday night, I mean, that game, by the time we left the arena, it was probably 12:30, 1 o'clock, and everyone's heart was still racing and emotions were flying. I know the players were texting me at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, so no one really got any sleep that night. So it was, Friday was a tough day, and we had to come in and start getting ready for Oakland, and Saturday was tough too. So I knew Sunday, recovery-wise, both physically and emotionally, was going to be tough, and we knew it was going to be a grind going into that game. And we were going to have to grind it out. We were going to really have to exert some energy and find places to get energy. And I think that's where, you know, you really find out about your team. And we were able to go 11 deep. And I thought Maddie Nolan was terrific for us in the first half. And then I thought, you know, Priscilla Schmingi came in and just gave us that spark and that lift that we needed in the second half to get that victory.
Yeah, 10 points in 12 minutes from Priscilla for you in that game. Just like you said, gave you a really big boost. And then Nas doing what Nas does, leading the way for you. You talk about, you know, the energy, showing the same kind of energy coming off a win. When your best player goes out and the effort is consistent no matter the opponent, no matter the circumstance, that really sets the tone for the rest of your team.
Yeah, Nas is special. I mean, she is just incredible in every sense of the word. I mean, just, she's the greatest teammate. She's a tremendous leader. We always talk about in our program, be the same every day. Mm-hmm. You know, come with that same focus, that same energy every day. If you're loud and quiet, if you're loud and intense every day, be loud and intense every day. And sometimes that's hard for That's hard for old people like me to do, but for young college kids that have so much going on in their life, to be consistent like that day in and day out is really difficult. And Nas is that kid. I mean, and she wasn't feeling terrific. You know, she tweaked her ankle. She wasn't 100%. And she came out, and you would have never known. I mean, just the way she played and she persevered. And she, you know, her tank was empty, but she is a warrior. She is a, you know, she is just a fighter. She's incredible. And you know, a lot of people have been asking me, you know, what's the difference between your team and the teams of the past? You had such tremendous scores, and Caitlin Flaherty and Hallie Thome and Nicole Munger. But I just said, you can't put your finger on someone like Nas Hillman. She just does whatever your team needs to be successful. She's a really special kid, and I'm so thankful I get to coach her for 4 years.
Gotcha. All right. So now the attention turns to a doubleheader coming up on Saturday. You mentioned that, you know, Juwan was at your game and showing support, and, you know, you guys do the same. Now you're going to be on the court the same day, Michigan taking on Oregon, and then you guys take on App State afterwards. Kind of tell us about App State and what fun it's going to be part of a doubleheader.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. I mean, we support each other's programs day in and day out. And even when Coach Howard, I know he's recruiting. Like, he's so disappointed he misses our game. Coach, I'm so sorry. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, go get some rest or, you know, get ready for your game. But he's like, no, I never want to miss. But even when he's not able to be there, I look up and all those guys are there. And the same is true for our team with them. And, you know, I was at the Iowa game the other night and all of our players were there as well. So I think, you know, we really have that support for each other and it makes a difference. And, you know, you hear about some programs around the country where their men and their women's teams aren't, there's like a little bit of a disconnect or they play in different facilities and they don't have that bond and that relationship. And it's so nice to see that our kids do. And the kids are on the court shooting together all the time. I mean, on Sundays when we both have a day off, I'll go in and, you know, there'll be a group of them and they're all in there shooting and they get along so well. So I think that's, you know, we always talk about the Michigan difference and really truly to be able to have that amongst our teams is incredible. So for us to play together on Saturday will be really nice. It'll be nice for each group to support each other. So I'm looking forward to that and I'm sure that our team is really looking forward to that as well. App State is a team that's kind of been up and down the last couple of years. I know their coach pretty well. She's been a friend of mine through the business. She was a assistant years ago at Virginia. She was an assistant at St. John's for a minute after I had left St. John's. So she's someone in the business that I've known for a long time. Went through a battle with cancer at a young age and has really done an incredible job with her team. So I'm looking forward to seeing her and her team and kind of looking forward to this week of allowing our team to get a little bit of a rest, allowing them to study for exams and really do well in the classroom, and then giving us a chance to continue to work on us and get our team better and work on some improvement. Because as you can see, Sam, and I know you probably followed this, this was the first year that the Big Ten women's basketball kicked the ACC's butt. And right. We won that challenge 9-5. And I try not to follow this, Sam, you know, don't get too high or too low. I don't follow, but you know, Sarah, she always keeps me in the loop on everything. She told me yesterday that in early bracketology, they had 11 Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament on the women's side. And a couple of years ago, we finished third in the Big Ten and couldn't get in. So that kind of speaks volumes to where our league is this year and the competition that we are going to face night in and night out in the Big Ten schedule.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of schedule, as we let you go, Kim, I mean, a scheduling masterpiece heading into Big Ten play. So you got 6 days this week between games. You played Sunday against Oakland in the game against Appalachian State is Saturday, and then you got 8 days until your next game. So a real opportunity to mix some rest days in there for your team to maybe heal some bumps and bruises and get them a little fresher. And you know, heading into Florida State, then the next thing you know, there are another 6 days before you open Big Ten play against Maryland.
Yeah, Sam, and it's great. And part of that is, you know, making sure that our kids have an opportunity to really do well on exams. And as great as we are on the basketball court, our kids are the same way in the classroom. And they want to do really well on exams. As much as they want to win games, they want to excel in the classroom. So this kind of gives them an opportunity, too, to prepare for their exams. And we always talk about finishing strong and to really finish strong in the classroom. And I'm happy that our schedule works out that way. But it also gives us an opportunity to improve. And that's what it's all about. I mean, we talk about development of our players and improvement of our players. You know, we have a long way to go, and we've done some great things early on, but we know that we are a work in progress, and there's a lot of areas that we need to continue to work on. So this is going to give us a chance as a program to really work on those things and try to improve as we do get ready for the Big Ten season.
Well, 8-1 overall, number 24 in the country. Coming off another outstanding week. Keep up the great work, Kim. We'll see you on Saturday and talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Ira. Go Blue.
All right, that was Michigan women's basketball coach Kim Barnes-Arico. Outstanding. I mean, look, it was a great game. It was a great game. Terrific comeback. When you think about the the post-game locker room scene. It was fitting. It was fitting that they had that kind of celebration because that's what kind of game it was. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Sam, dare we say that that game, in particular the last, say, 5 minutes of regulation, overtime, and that post-game celebration had a lot of monster moments?
It sure did. Hey, you don't say, Mr. Weintraub. Monster moments. That's what our friend Mike Porter from Monster Tree Service of Ann Arbor, that's what he comes in every week, every Monday to talk about during football season. He certainly talked about the monster moment of the game. We shift over into basketball season. And he's going to talk about the monster performer of the week. As he looked back to last week, he gave that crown to Brandon Johns based on his effort in the Iowa game. Diehard Michigan guy. You've heard him on here. His encyclopedic knowledge of Michigan sports that he can dial into at the drop of a hat. But as impressive as that is, as you heard me say before, his true expertise lies in his day job, and that is running the show over at Monster Tree Service, where they're a year-round tree trimming and landscaping service. They don't go into hibernation for the winter. As a matter of fact, as you heard him say, now is the time. This is the time of year where you start taking care of those oaks. So as he said, as he laid out, winter is pruning season for oak trees. So if you have oaks, you want to get in touch with our friend Mike Porter from Monster Tree Service. And all tree removals are 20% off the regular rate right now. That's at Monster Tree Service of Ann Arbor. Again, folks, they are taking the service that you see a lot of people try and just making it better. Being the experts at it, prioritizing safety at all times. They're environmentally friendly. And any job they do, you can rest assured that they are the best around. If you need Monster Tree Service of Ann Arbor, whether it's pruning, trimming, removal, stump grinding, emergency services, whatever you might need, Monster Tree Service of Ann Arbor serves all of Washtenaw and Livingston counties. You can go to ymonster.com. That's yhymonster.com, or call Mike at 734-385-4444. Got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.